James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, God's country. We have a great guest tonight. We have Leonard Jacobson coming on tonight. He's the author of Journey Into Now, Worlds of Silence, Embracing the Present, Bridging Heaven and Earth. He's the founder of the Conscious Living Foundation. And he's been doing workshops across the planet, basically, enlightening people into the God within, you might say, in the present moment. So without going too far into this, I want to welcome Leonard on the show because he's got a lot to say, and we don't want to lose any time with this precious information. So, Leonard, are you with us?
I'm right here, James.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
That's my pleasure.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the work that you're doing is amazing. I know my my sister, and actually my mother as well, went to one of your workshops, and my brother's very involved.
Right.
Yeah, and they've all speak very highly of the work that's going on there. And what's interesting is like, in a way, I'm thinking about the things that you teach and staying in the present now and in the moment. And there's a part of me that just wants to stay in the now and the moment, you know, and not even ask any questions.
Well, we can just be silent for the whole interview.
Yeah, but you know,
that wouldn't be very interesting for your listeners, though.
It'd probably be better for them actually just say, okay, we're going to take a minute and just spend it in the moment and block everything else out. But of course, this is radio, and they tuned in to hear something. So,
and I guess the point of this is to share how to free ourselves from that thinking mind that never stops thinking, so that we become fundamentally grounded in the present moment, and then we open up into the deepest, deepest levels of inner peace and silence. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the whole point of our journey here on Earth, is to awaken in that way, to awaken to an entirely different level of consciousness.
How do you do this? I know there's so many different techniques. Some people say, well, you have to stop the mind, which is almost impossible because it just chatters away. And I'm sure there's some ways of bringing us back to that point. Do you want to share some of that with us?
Yes. Most people on a spiritual path are trying to stop the mind. It's very, very subtly involved in our meditation practice. We practice, we practice, we practice, and our intention is to stop the thoughts so that our mind is silent. Now, the problem is that the very intention to stop thought is just another thought. And in fact, it's the ego itself trying to stop the ego or trying to stop thoughts. It won't work. It's impossible to stop thought. It just can't happen if you intentionally try to stop thought. So what I teach is a way around that dilemma. I share a very simple key which leads to liberation from the thinking mind into the full awakened state of the present moment. And it's so simple, James. It's as simple as gently remember to bring yourself present with that which is already present. Bring yourself present with something that's here in the moment with you. It's actually here. You're not imagining it. You're not remembering it. If you can see it, hear it, feel it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, in this moment, then it's here. You can be present with it. And the moment you're truly present with something that's actually here in the moment with you, you must come out of the mind. Thoughts must stop all by themselves, because the mind, and when we're in the mind, it's always of past future. It's always the remembered past or the imagined future. And thoughts are always past future. So if you bring yourself present with something that's here, you come out of the mind and thoughts stop. It's really that simple. And thoughts will remain silent for as long as you're truly present with what is here. But you can't try to stop thoughts. That's engaging you in the thought. It's engaging you in the mind. All that you do is you bring yourself present with something that's here. That's how simple it is. And if you do that many... What's that?
Well, it seems all trying is actually coming from the ego, and you're trying to become what you already are, which is the illusion that you're not, you know?
That's exactly right. It's usually it's the ego that sets us off on the quest or the seeking for, of enlightenment or awakening. And the ego has a motivation in that. The ego at a subtle level believes that enlightenment will either deliver the final escape from the pain, or it believes that enlightenment is the ultimate accomplishment. And so it tries. It practices. It has you reading books. It has you going to different teachers. It's desperately trying to become awake or enlightened or all of that. The problem is that the ego's world is the world of the mind. The ego exists within a framework of thought. So if you become present and thoughts stop, that kind of freaks the ego out because it feels to the ego like it's disappearing. And it doesn't like that. It wanted enlightenment. It wanted spiritual knowledge. It didn't plan on disappearing. And so it has a tremendous ability to pull us out of the present moment and keep us imprisoned in the past and future world of the mind. And that's its game. And so in order to free ourselves from that, we have to bring the ways of the ego into consciousness. And that's only possible from a dimension that is transcendent of the ego, which is what happens when you become very, very present. You transcend the mind and ego. It's a transcendent state.
It seems that all of our problems exist, you know, in the past are the worries about the future, and that's where we are held. And you probably get spontaneous healings when you reach that point where you're just in that still point where you're not in the past or the future and you're in the total present moment. It seems at that point in time that miracles could happen.
Well, I've experienced it over and over and over again, miracles occurring, spontaneous healings occurring. But again, you can't be present with an agenda. You can't be present because you want to be healed. You simply choose the present moment because it's the truth of life. And you deepen into presence because really it's our only real service to God or the truth of life is to be present. So it's not like we can approach the present moment with any agenda. It's a complete absence of me in order to really, really deepen into presence and become fundamentally grounded in presence. But once you're present and once presence is awake in you, and then healing is possible in a way that defies all reason and even defies imagination. It's quite extraordinary, and it is of the miraculous, but you can't approach it seeking that. You have to approach the present moment in innocence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of the masters said that, you know, you have to become like a child with that innocent awe.
Well, Jesus
that feeling
said that
of wonder, and then things happen, you know. But,
that's right. But
you can't
approach the present moment wanting things to happen. That would still be the me of the ego subtly involved in your desire to be present. So it's quite subtle. It's quite tricky in a way. It's very easy to get sidetracked and pulled out. Because the subtleties of the ego and the ego's intrusion, the subtleties involved in true awakening, really are very subtle, and you need to be very, very present in order to catch those subtleties.
I know that it's quite a trickster, you know, the ego. It can actually, you know, trick you into thinking that you're this great master that above all else, and not realizing that there is a great master within everyone else.
Exactly.
And I see a lot of that now. It's kind of a form of spiritual ego, where.
Right.
People are in judgment and, you know, I'm here, you're there, and they have all these hierarchies and lowarchies, and it's amazing. And you go, well, wait a minute, you know, it's all God. What, you know, what's all these hierarchies and lowarchies about?
No,
you know, and
you're absolutely right. That's still a part of the great illusion, all of that. When you truly awaken, it's impossible to see anything other than outside of you as anything other than equal. Everything becomes equal. The trees become equal with you, the flowers, the sky, and everyone else. Even if they're not awake, even if they're not aware of their own divinity, it doesn't make any difference once you're awake. Everyone, you see God in everyone and in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the sense or the idea of hierarchy is really an absurdity to one who's truly awake. Even the distinction between teacher and student, or teacher, master and disciple, really dissolves in presence. Mm-hmm. It's just, it doesn't sustain itself. I mean, God Save the Queen dissolves, the Star Spangled Banner dissolves, religions dissolve, philosophies dissolve. It all mm-hmm. dissolves in the fullness of silence that arises out of the moment of now. And that's our destiny. That's who we are. We are actually eternal beings having an experience within time and within the physical realm. But most of us have gotten very, very lost on this journey through time and in the physical realm. We've gotten lost. And where did we get lost? We got lost in the world of the mind. It's like an intricate maze, the world of the mind. And not only did we get lost there, but in a sense we're imprisoned there because we can't find our way out. Thoughts never stop. We just stay caught, imprisoned in the mind. And there's a very powerful prison warden. It's our own egos. Your own ego is the prison warden, and it's very, very skilled at keeping us imprisoned, and it has no intention of releasing us. Now, does this mean that the ego is the enemy? Absolutely not. If you approach the ego as the enemy, it wins. You can't continue to do that. There are so many false teachings around that. And the only way that the ego will ever come to a place of surrender and relaxation and release you from the mind and stop trying to keep you imprisoned in the world, the past and future world of the mind, is if presence arises sufficiently within you that the ego can feel the love, the acceptance, the compassion that you are in presence. And as it feels the arising of presence within you, it will begin to trust that. It will begin to relax. It will begin to relax its grip over us. It's an extremely clever customer, the ego, and extremely clever. It has a bag of tricks that keeps us imprisoned in the past and future. But as we awaken into presence, and it will gradually release its grip.
Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like what I've seen, you know, one of the major problems is is just the lack of divinity realized within ourselves and within everyone and everything on the planet right now. And people are divided into cultures and religions and what do you call it, political foundations or
right.
whatever, you know. And all this division is really the way of like egomaniacs, you know, keeping everybody confused and in suppression and everything. And so it seems like we have to let go of all, you know, religious, we have to transcend all religious and cultural boundaries to move into this present moment. And what a simple way to do it, the way you're teaching this, is because there isn't any elaborate memorizing of names and images and begats and all these other things. It's just finding that still point within.
You're absolutely right, James. You see, at the end of the day, it comes down to this. Which world do you choose to live in? And this is a fundamental choice that sooner or later every living human will have to come to terms with. Which world do you choose to live in? It's as if God is asking us this question. Which world do you choose to live in? The world of now, the world of the present moment, which is the truth of life, where I am the creator, says God. Or do you choose to live in the world of your mind, which is a world of illusion, a world of separation, but there you get to be the creator? This choice, this fundamental choice, is at the very root of free will. It's almost like we've been given free will to see how long it will take us to come to this fundamental choice. Because the truth is we're all lost. We're all lost in the world of the mind, doing it our way, like the prodigal sons and daughters, you know, doing it our way, taking ourselves further and further away from the truth of life. But at least we're doing it our way. But when we're in the mind, when we're functioning at that level of consciousness called the mind, then we're really in a world of separation. And it's very painful. And almost everything we do is motivated by our desire to avoid the separation. It's as if each one of us lives in our own separate world. And we do our best to survive and hopefully thrive in our separate worlds. We get along with those people who share the same set of illusions as we do, and we want to declare war on those who have a completely different set of illusions. And the ego, we're all functioning as egos when we're caught lost in the mind, and the ego basically lives like this. This is the basic position of the ego. Me, 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 mine, 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 I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. What's in it for me? How do I use this? How can I take advantage? Now, that's the basic position of the ego. And you can see where that has led us. There are 6 billion egos on this planet, all living in their own individual worlds of separation, all lost in illusion, more likely delusion, and believing in our beliefs, believing in our ideas, our concepts, our thoughts, our memories, our imaginings. And it just takes us further and further into separation, and it's within the separation that it gives rise to the conflict that you were speaking of. We're in conflict with each other at so many levels. And the only way out, James, as far as I'm concerned, is to liberate ourselves from such a limited level of consciousness, which is the mind and the ego, and awaken to the unlimited world revealed through the present moment. It opens us up into oneness so that we're no longer lost in separation. You can't chop down a tree if you're present without giving it some really deep meditation and contemplation. It doesn't mean you shouldn't or you can't, but you're not going to do it willfully or you know, without some level of prayer in that action. When you awaken into oneness, you recognize oneness in everything. That's where Jesus' statement, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself comes into play. He should have added, love thy neighbor as thyself, because thy neighbor is thyself.
Mm-hmm.
In presence, oneness is realized, oneness is recognized. And at the deeper levels of presence, we start to recognize where we really are. And where we really are, when we're awake in the truth of life, is this is heaven on earth. But if you're lost in the mind, you can't see it, you can't sense it, you don't know it. You don't know God if you're lost in the mind. Essentially, if you're lost in the mind, you're condemned to believe in God. And you're essentially believing in a delusional or an illusory God. It's not the truth of God. God is a living presence that is present in all things present. That's what omnipresence is. God can't be known with the mind. God can't be known through belief. You can only experience the living presence of God if you come to where God is, which is here now in the present moment. God is the present moment revealed. And there's nothing you can say about it. You can't describe it. For the most part, what we've done is we've created God in our image, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
Yeah, we've had a lot of perpetuated images on us, you might say, in history. You know, I'm kind of privy to that. We're looking at history from our own reference point, you might say, and even the Bible and a lot of the ancient scriptures were written by some very primitive men that did the best they could with their reference points and their knowledge, and they had experiences in the past, and they wrote about them, and you know, and they have so many images of God and names, and the God of the Bible, I hate to say it, is a little schizo, you know, because he says, you know, thou shalt not kill, and then he says, okay, go kill all those people,
right.
And, you know, makes people sacrifice too young, and I mean, it got pretty ugly there, but if people knew the true history, they could let go of those old images of God and get back to that presence, the one that you're talking about.
Yes. The problem is that, you know, throughout history, there have been certain beings who have truly, truly, truly awakened at such a deep level. I could mention mm-hmm. Buddha. I could mention Lao Tzu. I could mention Jesus. There are others. We could bring it all the way up to, say, Ramana Maharshi, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the truth, they truly were awake in oneness, absolutely. Now, the problem is that what followed after they died or even while they were still alive, their followers were not awake. And
mm-hmm.
One who is not awake cannot practice or live the truth of one who is awake. It won't work. It just leads to hypocrisy and false belief and essentially to delusional practices. It's not possible for the ego to practice the way of an awakened being. What has to happen is not that the ego tries to practice what Jesus taught or Buddha taught, but that they awaken to the level that Jesus was awake at or Buddha was awake at. Now, the problem is that the followers or the storytellers elevated Jesus and Buddha to such a level that you can never imagine that you could be at that level yourself. And what I say to people in my groups is very simple. Don't be a Buddhist, be a Buddha. Don't be a Christian, be a Christ. Now, what does that mean? To be a Buddha simply means that you're so utterly awake in the present moment, your mind is so silent, you're so filled with a sense of oneness for everything, that you are a Buddha. You are Buddha-like. It's your Buddha nature revealed. To be a Christ means you're so utterly present that you're experiencing oneness with God in everything. That's all it means. And if Jesus and Buddha were listening into this interview or this dialogue, James, they would be nodding their heads saying, yes, that's what we meant. I don't have any doubt about that. But the followers had to elevate them because no one would follow them unless they were elevated, because the ego is not interested in the truth. The ego is interested in the story.
Yeah, I find it really interesting. I think if the masters look upon what's been done in their name and created in the structures and religions, I mean, they're probably just like slapping their forehead going, oh my God, you know, I didn't say that. I didn't mean for this to happen. And I bet you a lot of them are incarnating right now and saying, and coming in trying to rearrange things and bring in the real message.
Well, that's true. That's true. I think Jesus might be no longer saying, forgive them for they know not what they do. He might even be a little angry. Who knows? But in any event, the truth is, one who's truly awake is always compassionate and loving and accepting. But there's always that intention, that commitment to express the truth and share the truth. And so if everyone got it wrong then, let's hope that they can get it right now. Because it's time. If humanity doesn't awaken now and respond to the truth, then we're pretty much doomed as a species. We're taking ourselves down a very dangerous and destructive path.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to be a doomsayer here. I'm optimistic. I hope that there's enough of us who can awaken that it will affect collective consciousness. And then game over. We'll be awake. Everything will change. But will we take ourselves too close to the edge that it's too late?
Now, that's a very serious program going. We just finished a DVD up here that's going to hit all the theaters. It's pretty amazing, and it covers all of this. And we are on a fast track. We're taking the downward spiral in evolution, which could end up in social, economic, and environmental collapse.
Absolutely.
And I think it all boils down to those basic teachings of like you're saying, love your neighbors yourself, and then seeing the Creator in all creation and having a healthy respect for, you know, the omnipresent God in all life and all creation.
Here's the problem with what you're saying, though, James. If the ego hears what you're saying and believes, oh, that's a good idea, I'll do that, it won't work. The only way it works is if you awaken into presence and into that deep, eternal, silent level of pure consciousness that Jesus was awake in, that Buddha was awake in, or Ramana Maharshi or others. This is the catch, that nothing will work unless you're truly awake. And the most difficult, as you were alluding to this before, the most difficult kind of person to awaken is one whose ego has become spiritualized. It becomes very, very difficult to awaken them. It's almost better if people have not been on a spiritual path. It's easier because their minds are not clouded and filled with spiritual concepts and ideas, or even the idea that they've got it. The moment you think you've got it, that's the ego. You don't get anything. You're either present in the moment or you're not. And if you're present, your mind is fundamentally silent and you're utterly here. It's like an embrace of what is here in the present moment with you. And what happens is you just feel that's where you feel the sacredness and the divinity. The real danger is in people hearing what you and I are speaking about and thinking they understand. What I'm speaking of is beyond all understanding.
It's like taking the infinite, you know, and trying to capsulize it in a book or the mind, you know, which is impossible, but people think they've done it, and you always have to come from that point of it can't be done, and that, you know.
That's right. So it's quite a challenge that we're facing as a species, and the catch is this: Basically, people will respond to what we're speaking about and truly move towards the awakened state, truly settle into presence. If the soul's longing for God and truth and love and oneness is stronger within them than the ego's resistance, that's pretty much the equation.
Mm-hmm.
If the soul's longing in us is stronger than the ego's resistance, and if you find your way to a true and living way of awakening that's clear and simple, then the odds are you'll truly awaken in this lifetime. Our destiny is to awaken fully. The only question is when. And
mm-hmm.
we need many people to awaken. And when you awaken, it's really important not to think it's special. The ego might think it's special, but when you're truly awake, it's not special. In fact, a lot of the time, the awakened state is quite ordinary. It's
mm-hmm.
just that you're here. It's all the awakens. All it means to be truly awake means that you're here as the tree is here. You're here as the cow is here. You're here as the dog is here. You're here as the flower is here or the sky is here. It just means you're here. Now, sometimes it becomes extraordinary and you feel a lot of bliss and love and the sense of oneness is just overwhelming. But then at other times, it's ordinary. You're just going for a walk or you're in the supermarket, but you're pretty present as you walk around the supermarket. There's nothing disturbing you. You're not in your past or future. You're just walking around the supermarket. And life becomes very simple, very easy, very relaxed because you don't have this very, very disturbed past penetrating in looking for solutions. And you're not lost in an imagined future where you hope to find those solutions.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite simple being present. Being awake is a simple state. We need to take the specialness out of it. It's completely accessible to everyone. In fact, to be a fully awakened and enlightened being is our natural state. It is who we are. It's unnatural to be lost in the mind, functioning as an ego. That's completely unnatural, and yet that's what 99% of us are doing.
Yeah, it does seem like the program that we've most, you know, humanity has accepted is this program of, you know, acceptance and approval outside of self, whether it be God or social consciousness or, you know, your peers. And, you know, the TV has just been bombarding people with this ever since they're kids. You know, you got to drink the right beer, have the flashy car, and then you get the bronze beautiful woman and, you know, that
yeah,
whole
you have
program.
To look, yeah, you have to look like Paris Hilton.
Yeah, and that just the whole program, you know, and they've got all these anorexic 14-year-olds as models, and everybody's saying, you know, you got to look like them, and it's just amazing when you look back at that, and you go, why don't you just be you? Why don't you just be authentic? You know, whatever that means, you know, stop trying to be all these other programs, and very very hard for people to just take a minute to really know who they are and why they're here and get in touch with their own unique purpose for being here.
But, you know, you can't do that other than from presence. It's only when you're present that those things are revealed. But it's
mm-hmm.
good to understand what's at the very core or heart of what you're describing. You're absolutely right. We are so habituated to losing ourselves in others or in outcomes. It's very much a part of human life. And it begins very, very early in childhood, very, very early. What happens is that as little babies, when we come into the world, we're very, very present little beings. But we come into a world where no one's really here. Now, what do I mean by that, no one's really here? Everyone is functioning, is lost in the mind, is functioning at the level of mind, past, future. And the baby feels that, the young child feels that, and it's very painful. And so what happens is that it's too painful to bear living in a world where no one's here. And so the child essentially gives up on anyone ever being here for you and then begins the process of feeling safe by seeking substitutes for the true need, which is, I want somebody to be here. I want my mother and father to truly be here with me. But at a fairly young age, a very young age, we give up on that possibility and we go for the next best thing. Well, if you're not going to be here, then at least will you love me unconditionally, then I'll feel safe. No, we don't get that. How about accepting me unconditionally? No, we don't get that. well, will you approve of me? That'll make me feel a little more safe. No, we don't get that. How about recognize me, think I'm special? And each step we take away from that true need, the need that I want someone to be here, I need someone to be here, each step we take, we get further and further lost in others, further and further away from the truth of who we are. And it's very hard to recover from that. We're all so deeply habituated to seeking approval, acceptance, and love from others. And all it really is a symptom that we've lost ourselves in the other. We've lost ourselves. And we lost ourselves because no one was here in the first place. It's too painful to stay here when you're the only one and you're 3 years old or 4 years old. And so as a part of the awakening process, we have to bring to consciousness everything you were describing, James, which is all the ways we lose ourselves in others. If I'm seeking your approval, I need to bring that to consciousness very gently, very lovingly, and then disengage from it. But that's only possible if I'm present. If I'm not present, I can't see what I'm doing. That's why presence is so important. If I'm afraid of your judgment, I'm losing myself in you. I'm giving all my power to you. That's what we're doing. You're giving all the power away. If I'm looking for your approval or your acceptance, if you approve of me or accept me, I feel good. But if you don't, I collapse. Now, who's got all the power? You have. It's time to reclaim our power. And the only way you do that is by saying, hey, you know, you're free to accept me or not accept me. You're free to love me or not love me. In fact, you're even free to judge me or not judge me. I allow you all that freedom. Because if you accept me, that's a statement about you. If you love me, that's a statement about you. If you approve of me, it's a statement about you. If you hate me, it's a statement about you. If you judge me, it's a statement about you. It's all about you, and I'm no longer entangled in you. I'm me, you're you. That's the awakened state. I no longer seek that. But you can't artificially stop it because it's such a habit within us. The only thing that's possible is to be present when it's easy to be present, when there's nothing going on. And as presence deepens in you, then that opens up the possibility of owning, acknowledging, confessing all these little patterns and energy forces that pull us out of presence. We bring it all to consciousness, and then it all starts to relax. Presence is the missing key, and humanity is not aware of that yet. And it can't be aware of it because if you're lost in the mind, you don't even know what it means to be truly present. In fact, who we are is that we are the dreamers dreaming the dream that we are awake. And it's not until we awaken that we realize that we've been asleep dreaming that we're awake. It's a radical shift in consciousness.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, you know, the Matrix movie. I went and saw that movie and I walked out and I said, wow, you know, what's real?
Exactly.
And I think that's what everybody needs to do. I don't know if you know about this, but I had a drowning when I was around 25 and crossed over and went to that golden plane of bliss.
Right.
And when I came back, I was ultra sensitive and I regained all those attributes that I had as a child. And then I looked around me and I was in commercial real estate. I had my own office and had all of the things, the trappings, you know, to be successful. And I left, and I actually went to Santa Cruz and lived in the forest up there for a little while and hung out and then came up here to build this retreat center. But I noticed that everything you're talking about is right on, especially, you know, after having the drowning and the experience.
Yeah, well, you've experienced directly what I'm speaking of, and once you know, you know. It's no longer belief. It's no longer knowledge. It's direct knowing. And once you have an experience like that, it transforms you at such a deep level. But it doesn't mean...
I couldn't function anymore.
Oh, no, I know exactly what you mean. But, you know, yeah. at the end of the day, the real model that will work for humanity is to awaken fully into the level of experience that you're describing or that I've been through, this very, very deep, deep awakened state of consciousness where oneness is revealed, where God and heaven on earth is revealed, where you know yourself as love and compassion and acceptance, utterly without judgment, right? That has to open up in each one of us. But then we need to master the art of balance, where I'm mm-hmm. fundamentally present, but I can also function quite nicely in the world of time. I think the model where we remove ourselves and live in a cave for the rest of our lives is an old one. It doesn't mean mm-hmm. that it's not very, very valuable for a period of time. I know exactly what you're talking about when you say you couldn't function in the world of time, very, very literally, because there is no time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't function in time when there is no time. But, you know, to stay in that deep, deep state is a wonderfully exalted state. But it doesn't necessarily serve this level of balance that I'm speaking of, where the whole of humanity can't awaken to that deep state. We have to awaken so that we're fundamentally present, and then we master the art of living in the world of time from presence, not lost in the mind, and not functioning as an ego. Even though the ego is there, it's completely transformed, it's relaxed, it's surrendered, it's happy to serve us in the world of time, to serve me or you in the world of time, just as we see ourselves when we're truly awake, in service to a much higher level, meaning God, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a... I know there's one fundamental thing I've been very curious about, you know, my own experience, I've studied with a lot of yogis and lamas after that, and kind of went through their programs and ate the meat and spit out the seeds, you know.
Right.
And it's like peeling the orange, you know. There's meat in there, but you got to get rid of the other stuff. And one of the things I noticed that these yogis, they die over and over and over again. They don't ascend. They don't take the body with them. And I've always pondered this one thing where they all agree. They say the body's dust, it's an illusion, it's nothing, ignore it. And that might be just why they often die, because they've taken the divinity out of the physical and they're not maintaining it.
That's one of the great mistakes of the East. You know, we Western people have something to share with the East as well. For me, that's the great mistake of the East, because it's a denial of the physical realm. It's a mm-hmm. denial of the divinity of the physical realm, and including our own bodies. And
mm-hmm.
from my perspective, the only way you can be present, which is the only way you can come out of the mind and wake up, is to bring yourself present with something that's already here. Now, if you dismiss everything that's here as illusion and unworthy, what are you going to be present with? You really have a dilemma, and you're ignoring why you're here in the first place. I mean, God's gone to an awful lot of trouble to get us here. So, you know, let's be here. Let's be here. That's the whole purpose of our journey. In fact, it's written in one of my books, the sole purpose, S-O-L-E, the sole purpose in our being here is to be here. The sole purpose, S-O-U-L, the sole purpose in our being here is to be here. It is the fulfillment of everything. To truly be here, what's really happened is that heaven, which began in a formless state, has manifested into form. Why would we want to be dismissing it? It doesn't make any sense to me. And those who dismiss it will pay the price.
I agree 100%. I after that experience with the golden plane of bliss, whatever you want to call it, I went further in my meditations, and I went into the void, and I saw this area where the polarities first begin, you know, whatever you want to call it, yin-yang, positive, negative,
right,
where the first creation happened. And I thought about that, and I said, well, you know, why, if this is all an illusion, if this is dust and we're not supposed to enjoy it, then why is it here? You know, did God make a really bad mistake, you know, by setting this into motion? And I just think it's our judgment of the physicality that is the problem, as seeing it less than divine, and it's a major problem on the entire planet right now.
You're absolutely right. In fact, what I've witnessed in working with many, many, many people over the years is that hidden deep within about 30 to 40% of the human population is a very, very subtle and very, very hidden, very deep feeling within them that they don't want to be here. They just don't want to be here. And when I inquire why not, the answer is, well, there's too much suffering here. And that's true. This world that we live in, this life that we live in, is full of suffering. but it's full of suffering because we're not here. The moment you're truly present, the suffering ends. But this subtle feeling, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be here, which is in many people at a very hidden level, this accounts for that movement or that denial that we're speaking of the physical form. It's a part of the human psyche's desire to get out of here, to escape. And so that's really, in a sense, infected at a very deep unconscious level, all these yogis in India who are in denial of the physical form. They're not in touch with, they haven't been able to bring into consciousness this deep program, this deep belief that was there even before they incarnated into the physical form, that they don't want to be here. And particularly in India, there are a lot of reasons to not want to be here, with the poverty and the suffering. It's only when you truly awaken that you see what's here. There are many people I've encountered on the spiritual path who think, oh, great, I'll get enlightened, then I don't have to come back. But that's silly. Why wouldn't you want to come back? This is heaven on earth. It's the peak of human possibility to be actually manifested from pure consciousness beyond form and beyond content, which is who we are at the deepest level, pure consciousness beyond form and content, to actually manifest through the temple that is your own body into the physical realm so that you can behold and experience fully what is here as heaven revealed on earth. This is the peak of human experience, of human possibility. But we don't stay here because no one was here when we got here. We abandoned the present moment and went into the world of the mind hoping to find someone there. But we don't find them there either. This is the human dilemma. And It's so much easier just to get here, come here. But what we're talking about, James, is very important because these are the really, really subtle levels where we can take a slip, where we can slip up on our journey of awakening. These very, very subtle levels where, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people even here in the West, particularly in the satsang movements that are so popular. There's this belief in nothingness. That the goal is nothingness, that it's, again, is the denial of the physical form. For me, everything in physical form is the body of God. Bring yourself present with the body of God and you'll start to experience the living presence of God in all things present. Why would we dismiss the body of God? God is both creator and creation. It's really hard to find God as creator, but it's very easy to find God as creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. I know that there's a lot of people that are trying to ascend, and their whole focus is leaving here. And if they put that love and that bliss towards their physical body and saw it as divine, they would create a quickening in the body, which would help them in their ascension process. So it's kind of backwards, the ascension process that most people are working on. They really need to learn to love everyone and everything here and see the divinity in everything, including their own body, and that's going to help them in their ascension process.
Well, that's true, and even there, I would say that there's confusion even in calling it an ascension process. In truth, if we take it into account all the multidimensional aspects of our existence, it's both an ascension and a descent. The upper realms of our multidimensional existence descend. The lower levels ascend, and there's a meeting point in the middle. And it's that meeting point in the middle, transcendent of all the realms and dimensions of our existence, transcendent of the spiritual realm, transcendent of the soul, transcendent of the psyche, and even transcendent of the physical form, all of it. There's a point in the center which transcends everything and reveals oneness in everything and brings everything into alignment with the oneness. That's what true awakening is. It's partially an ascension, but it's also partially a descent, depending on which way you're viewing it. Meeting point in the middle. See, can you see again the point? It's a point transcendent of all duality. If you're focused on ascent, you're out of balance within duality. Ascent is in duality with descent. There's a middle point that where ascent, which transcends both ascension and descension. There's a middle point. And so we've got to release ourselves from this idea of ascension. In fact, just to contemplate, in this moment we could contemplate, in this moment I will both ascend at whatever level that is appropriate, and I will descend at whatever level is appropriate, so that I come to the very center, revealed through the doorway of the present moment. And as I come to the center of all realms and all dimensions, and the center of all duality, because duality is perfectly in balance with me, the door opens. The door opens, transcending duality, and takes me through into oneness. And oneness revealed here now, in this moment, in everything. And who is experiencing oneness? I am. That's the end of it. I am. Who is here?
So it's
I am.
It's the level where God knows itself to be man or woman, and man knows himself to be God, that midpoint in between.
Something
or
like that.
Yeah.
It's really at this point that I'm speaking of. It's transcendent of all thought and all description and all commentary, really. It's just the only way you can really relate to what I just said is in perfect silence, where you respond within yourself to where I was pointing my finger to, or where my words can take us, just simply to that perfect silence within. An end to all seeking, an end to understanding. Just utterly here now, as pure consciousness, here in a breathing body, fully present, fully alert, fully aware, silent, open, available, loving, infinite, eternal. I am that. I am. Now, you can't think about what I'm saying, but you can. Everyone listening can feel that. They can feel it because what I'm describing is in everyone. It has always been in everyone and will always be in everyone. It's at the core of our being. It's there. You can't create it. It's already there. All you can do is release yourself from the mind, which keeps you separate from that. And the question is, well, how do we accomplish that? This might be a good moment to mention my book, Journey Into Now, which sets out very, very clear guidance on how to accomplish that. Even accomplish is the wrong word, but it's clear guidance to awakening from the mind into this eternal state of now.
How do they go about getting your books or getting in contact with your workshops, your up-and-coming workshops that you're having?
Well, there are two. The book is Journey Into Now. That's my latest, and it's the most comprehensive. And you can get it through Amazon.com, or you can go into your local bookstore and order it, or you can come to my website, which is simply leonardjacobson.com. That's Jacobson with an O, Jacobson. And it's quite a coincidence that my new and wonderfully revised website has only just gone live today. So if anybody wanted to go to the website tonight or after your radio program or tomorrow, there's wonderful streaming video, there's streaming audio, there's all sorts of, there's over 40 questions and answers. There's a tremendous amount of good stuff on the website that's quite illuminating. And so if anyone's interested, that's probably the best place to start.
Now, you're going on a European tour, I guess, real soon.
We leave on Tuesday.
Okay.
And we're coming
How soon will you be back so people can get to your workshop here in the States?
I'll be back in a month. We check our emails every day. We're very much in touch with that. So if anybody wants to connect with us, just email.
Okay.
There's plenty happening when we get back if people want to be involved. But it's a journey.
I have everything up on the site here, and it's archived as well. We'll have your website and the contact information and everything, as well as the book. So, and we'll keep that up there for a while.
Right, good. I appreciate that. You know, it's just an exciting journey, James. As you know, I mean, you know. Once you know, you know. But for people who are not quite there yet, it's very exciting once you get the hang of it. It's all about number. See, I teach a two-step dance of awakening, and I've really simplified it. Step one, bring yourself present whenever it's easy to be present. If you're washing the dishes, why not be present? There's really no need to be thinking. Be present in the movement of your arms. Be present with the smell of the soap, the warmth of the water. There are so many ways to be present with what's here. So many times each day, just for a few seconds here and now or a minute here and now, it doesn't have to be all the time. It's not a practice. You're not trying. It's very gentle. You bring yourself present with something that's here in the moment with you. It's easy. It's simple. It's relaxed. That's step one. Now, step two, which is only possible once step one is underway, step two is you begin a process of bringing consciousness to all the ways you're pulled out of presence or all the ways that are preventing you from deepening into presence. And I've made it very simple. There are only four ways that that occurs. And I set these out very clearly in the book, and I can only mention them. We only have time to mention them very briefly now. But the four ways that we're pulled out of presence. Number one is the ego itself. It's so skilled at holding us imprisoned within the world of the mind. It's just so clever at it. And we must come into recognition of how it functions, why it functions, what it's up to, how it tricks us, how it deceives us. And then we must come into right relationship with the ego. And that's only possible if we're fairly awake in presence. That's the first thing. The second aspect is, to the extent that we're in denial of who we've become on this long journey through time and separation, to that extent we'll be denied the truth of who we are. Most of us are so habituated to judging different aspects of ourselves, trying to fix ourselves, hide, project out of ourselves, whatever we do. We're so addicted to that, and yet that will prevent us from opening into the truth of who we really are. Who we've become: greedy, mean, manipulative, controlling, a victim, hurt, wounded, angry, blaming, guilty, all of those things. Who we've become is actually the doorway into the truth of who we are. And we must go through a process of owning, acknowledging, confessing who we've become with love, with acceptance, with compassion. And that's easy when presence is awake in you. The third aspect is repressed emotions. To the extent that we have emotions repressed within us from our past, mostly from our childhood, to that extent we can't be truly awake because we're constantly held in the past by those emotions, or they're being triggered and projecting through into the present. So I teach a whole way of being in right relationship with those emotions, those repressed emotions, so that they heal and complete within us. And the fourth and final way is, which we've actually spoken about, is to the extent that we're entangled in others, we can't be truly awake, because the awakened state means very clearly, I am me, you are you. I am with me, you're with you, everybody out. No entanglement in each other. And how we get entangled in each other is what we were talking about earlier. If I want you to approve of me, accept me, love me, recognize me, I'm getting entangled in you. I'm losing myself in you. I'm giving away all my power to you. If I fear your judgment, I'm entangled. If I judge you, I'm entangled. If I try to control you, I'm entangled. If I fear your rejection, I'm entangled. So the truth is, we're all hopelessly entangled in each other. And it's not that difficult to free ourselves if we know the way. It really isn't. It doesn't take long, and it's quite easy. But, sorry, go on. Go ahead.
I even found myself getting pulled off course on that whole program. You know, I'll run into this beautiful woman, you know, with a Russian accent and everything. And all of a sudden, I'm observing myself going through these motions, trying to gain acceptance and approval. And I'm going, wait a minute, you know. And it's funny how that pushes on you, and you have to pull yourself back and go, okay, wait a minute, I'm just going to be authentic, I'm going to be myself, I'm not going to have any, you know, future attachments, anything, I'm just going to, you know, let things go where they need to go.
Did you go up to her and say, I want to be authentic and honest with you, I'm very attracted to you, and I'm very shy, and I feel awkward and clumsy? Did you tell her that?
Actually, I did.
You did, excellent. Well, that's perfect. You can't do it any better than that.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to ask you, how did she respond, but I won't.
Well, she left.
She left. Okay. Well, she didn't get it.
Well, not really. I just said, you know, I would just like to get to know you a little better.
Well, that's probably not being authentic. I'm sure you wanted more than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, not really in my... I've been there and done that so many times that
right.
I've done it redundantly that I don't need it anymore. So I'm looking right. for something with a little more depth, you know, before I get entangled, you might say.
Right. Your voice is breaking up a little on the phone, James. I'm wondering if that's happening on the going out on the airwaves.
No, the streaming's good. It starts doing that. But actually, we're out of time, so I've got
to
sign off.
Okay.
And that might be our little cue there. And I'll definitely have to have you back on the show again. It was an awesome interview. I'm sure everybody loved it.
Well, I'd love to hear from people if they loved it. So just get in touch through the website.
Okay.
And it's been
a pleasure. We've got your website.
What's that?
We've got everything up on the list, and so I'm sure you'll be getting some phone calls and some emails.
Right. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, James. I can feel, as I speak to you, the level of consciousness that you're functioning at.
Well, thank you.
And it's very refreshing.
Oh, it's often real talk to somebody that's on the same page, and I don't feel so alien anymore.
right, exactly. Okay,
we'll definitely have
you
on the show again.
Okay, well, you take care.
All right, you too. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Good night.